Paranormal Talk Show. All opinions, comments, or statement of facts expressed by PIR Radio's guests are strictly their own and do not represent or to be endorsed by PIR Radio, ASPRN, Paranormal Radio Network, and their affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, this is Brian Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Pirate Investigators Radio.
Welcome to PIR Radio. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Society and www.hauntedtube.com. Let's now go get your paranormal radio experience with your hosts, Kurt Smith and Bill Horton.
Already it's Monday and you know it's PIR Radio time. We have a great show lined up, but before we get to our show, as always, we got to do a little house cleaning. So if you haven't had a chance to check out our website, it's www.pirradio.com. We have a forum on there too, so we've been, you know, slowly getting that ramped up. So if you want to check out upcoming shows, information about PIR Radio, or if you just want to meet and greet with other paranormal investigators out there, join the forum and start, you know, posting topics and having some great discussions. And don't forget to keep it civil. As always, I have my host with me, Bill Horton. So how's it going, Bill?
Hey, it's sunny in Philly.
Is it? It was rainy and crappy here today.
Yeah, actually, we had a lot of rain Saturday night. Actually canceled. We were going to go with Lori to, what's it called? Oh, jeez, I can't remember the name. But anyway, she canceled it because it was rained out.
You're fired.
Yeah, I'm fired. It wasn't my fault, though. I was not mentioning the case. I was just the victim of the brutal storm. It was rough, though. I'm glad we didn't go because the place isn't really warm. And Grand Park.
That's right. You were talking about that last week.
Yeah. So we're going to go, and I think people were paying, you know, because it was a fundraiser for them, for the Historical Society, and it didn't end up happening. But
hopefully we'll reschedule it down the road.
Yeah, it'll be fun, you know. But outside of that, nothing's. It's quiet in it. You know, must be a half moon or something.
They're all taking a break because it's the Easter holiday.
Oh, no paranormal spirits because it's Easter, right?
The only paranormal spirits are the Easter bunnies.
Well, that could be. We'll never know.
True.
How about you? What you been up to?
I haven't been doing much, you know, working and I'm just enjoying, you know, spending time with my daughter. Nothing paranormal. I've been on Facebook trying to find another group to join, but it seems like no one wants to respond. So if there's anyone in the Aurora, Naperville areas, western suburbs of Illinois, I'm looking to join a group. So if you listen to the podcast, hit me up in an email, kurt@pirradio.com.
I do have a question for you, Kurt. You know, I mean, is it true that you were disciplined on Facebook this week?
I was disciplined on Facebook this week.
You had an hour, 1 hour timeout?
No, I had an 8 hour timeout.
Oh, eight? Oh, that's even more worse.
I know.
Because you used the F-bomb? Or just because you cursed at your union president?
I did.
Right.
I cursed at him. Shame on
and
me.
I never heard of that. I see curses all over there, and I guess maybe there's like maybe it's like the CIA when there's certain words that are together that it puts up a red flag and.
Yeah, if you say something derogatory or you know threatening or something to any public official, I think it is something like that.
Oh wow.
But mine wasn't derogatory.
Mine was pretty rough when I was cursing at my boss, sort of. Anyway, real excited about our guest tonight because I was just reading his little bio on something on scene.com. Interestingly enough, you know, when things follow you home, that used to be a big thing that me and Lori talked about, and I know we've had a couple people talking about that. So, and allegedly, Stephen had something follow him home.
Very interesting. Yeah, we'll definitely be hearing that story tonight, and you know, I guess it leads up to the publication of this book. But I can't wait. So you know what, Bill?
No.
Let's bring our guest on.
Let's do it.
What do you say?
Excited? Yeah.
Awesome. So tonight's guest is Stephen Hill. He is the author of Something Unseen, and he's also with Piedmont Paranormal Investigations, and if I'm incorrect on that, he'll correct me. But Stephen's with us on the line. So, Stephen, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing there, Kurt? Bill, glad to be here.
We're doing good. I mean, it's hopefully springtime's, I mean, springtime has hit down in the south pretty hard. I mean, we're cold up here, so it's been a crazy spring so far.
Yeah, well, you know, I think globally it's been a crazy spring. if you look at the headlines and the weather, but, yeah, we had some close calls down here in North Carolina just, you know, a couple days ago, several people in a couple different counties here in North Carolina, experienced tornadoes, and unfortunately some lost their lives, in the experience. So, yeah, it's been a crazy, spring so far. You're right.
You know, just a side topic, I wonder if, you know, with the 2012, I guess what you can call it, is it a conspiracy or is it actually going to happen? I mean, does this type of weather and all this phenomenon that's happened, like the earthquake in Japan and then these severe storms, are they going to say that this is just a precursor to what's going to happen?
Well, you know, there's many theories on 2012, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if something doesn't happen the way things are heading. You know, and of course with the nuclear plant pretty much meltdown in Japan, the radiation hitting the United States and probably other parts of the world before it's over, you know, this could be a precursor to something different than life as we know it.
Kurt, I got something. You know, I was reading Yahoo headlines I read every morning, and they said, I had to laugh, and it's not funny, but it said, robot detects unusually high amount of radiation in Japan nuclear plant. And I thought, duh.
Well,
you know?
I saw that too. I didn't read the article, but I saw the article. I mean, I actually saw it on the news. They showed a picture of the robot.
Yeah, but who knew that it wasn't going to be high? You know, it's like, come on. These people, like, the guy stepped in radiation water the other week, and, you know, they went through their suit, you know, and they had to go to the hospital and probably got amputated or something, you know? You don't hear about all that, but...
True.
So anyway,
well, I tell you guys, if you're, they said the radiation was, you know, highly contaminated water was leaking to the ocean. So, if your tuna starts glowing when you open the can, I'd send it back.
make mental note: I will no longer eat tuna.
there's other countries that are actually saying, oh yeah, we're scanning all the food that's coming out of Japan now, and when it arrives into the other country, and they're saying that it's, you know, within the safe limit of radiation, you know, to be edible, and I don't know what that means, but anyway, that's here nor there, and then, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
True.
You know, it's just going to come, you know, just like Chernobyl. I mean, we survived that, but it just comes around, you know. They were saying there's nuclear fallout in New Hampshire or something not so long ago.
In the rain or something, then it gets in the grass with the rainwater.
Yep.
Well, technology, as I always say, is a wonderful thing, but doesn't kill us.
Anyway, wow, that was a mouthful for an opening of a show, I tell you. Good job.
But you know what we need to do, though, real quick? And we got to do this at the beginning and the end of the show. Real quick, Steve, if you have a website or Facebook page or how people can contact you, let the folks listening live or via the podcast know real quick, and we'll let you do it again at the end of the show. That way people, if they miss it at the beginning, they can get it at the end again.
Sure. Well, you can find my book, Something Unseen, on Amazon. You can download it for your Kindle. It's on BarnesandNoble.com. It's available as a Nook book. You can also find it at BooksAMillion.com, BetterWorldBooks.com, and at SomethingUnseen.com. That's for the book. If you'd like to reach me, you can friend me on Facebook at Stephen Hill, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, H-I-L-L, and there's about 1,000 Stephen Hills out there on Facebook, but, you know, I am on there, and send me a friend request. I gladly accept it. I've got a website, www.dropdeadpromotions.com, and what I do with this site is I put on investigative events at different venues. I know coming up here May the 28th, Memorial Day weekend, we're doing the mansion of the famous artist, Jules Gilmer Kerner, which is here in North Carolina, and I'm looking forward to that. We'll be doing an investigation there. And I try to have events to get people into locations where, you know, maybe you couldn't get by yourself or with your group.
Oh, that's awesome.
So instead of having, you know, a bunch of And nothing wrong with these type of events, but instead of having a bunch of celebrities or guest speakers, I'd rather use the time to actually investigate a very historic and reportedly haunted location. So I think that's going to be fun. And of course, I had, I still own the domain, PiedmontParanormalResearch.com. And when my book came out, the website's in the book, and, you know, guys, I was getting so many, I don't seek, residential investigations, but I was getting so many people contacting me. I just yanked the site down. I was going to redo it anyway, and I hadn't gotten around to it. But
it takes a while to build websites. I mean,
it does, and you know that. Like I say, I was just getting bombarded, you know, with requests. And one great thing about writing a paranormally themed book, which is the, you know, based on my true story, is that I get to hear 1,000 ghost stories from people that you would never, ever dream would walk up to you and tell you about their personal experience that they can't explain. That's really been a cool part of it. Because once people find out that, you know, you're into the paranormal in some way, shape, or form, it kind of opens them up, and for maybe, you know, they wouldn't go tell anyone at the church, or they wouldn't tell their circle meeting friends or the PTA members, hey, I think I might have, you know, haunting activity in my home. Whereas, to someone that's in the paranormal, they can more openly, share those experiences and feelings, and, that's been a great part of the book so far.
Now, have you had a great response in regards to your book?
Yeah, pretty good. You know, I'm for the first, my first work, and you know, the book was actually written at the nagging insistence, of my wife to write our story down. And, I kept arguing with her, I can't write. I don't know how to write a book. I've never written a book. I'm not a writer. And she said, well, just write it for me. And so I wrote the story, because she's a big part of it. And, never dreaming it would be published or read by anyone other than, she and I. But, what she was doing was, coming in here at night in my office and printing out what I'd written each day after I started writing it. She would take it to work with her. She would pass it around her circle of friends at lunch. And, so pretty soon it got to be, the people at work want to know when you're going to write more.
You're going
to
know more.
So when I got about halfway through with the book, the printer ran out of ink, and so then I had an excuse not to send it because it was very personal. And again, I didn't think it was ever going to be written, you know, read by anyone other than she and I. And they kept encouraging me to see about getting it published. And of course, I looked at many options. You know, you get a million different pieces of advice from a million different people when you say, I've got a book, what am I going to do with it? Some people, you know, they want you to co-publish. Some people want you to self-publish. And I looked into both those avenues, and it was going to cost a pretty good deal of money. And so I promised myself and my wife, you know, I'll submit this to a couple publishers, but I'm not going to pay a dime to see it in print. And if I have to, you know, pay money to see it in print, then I guess it'll never be.
Well, that's like me and Bill. We've gotten offers to, you know, have our radio show go over terrestrial air, and it's like, I won't pay to have the radio show played on like AM radio or over, you know, terrestrial radio because, you know, I don't think it's necessary. I mean, I think we have a great audience with how we do our show with our podcast and live listeners.
Well, you know, and two,
and it's expensive too.
Yeah, really, and you know, the shows that are, you know, I know the local, say AM talk shows that are here in Charlotte, and there's some good ones, sports shows and general discussion topics, but you know, they're all based on ratings. And you know, people are paying big money to advertise on those stations. And, you know, I agree with you. Why should I be paying them if I've got the show? The advertising should be paying me, I mean, hopefully. And, Yeah, I think people have a lot of misconceptions because everyone here on the internet, not to get off topic, is opening their own online TV or radio network. And guys, I've been doing this a long time. I'm on another network, and I do a little show, but I knew going in that
you're more than welcome to say your show, and we promote everyone here. So if you want to,
well, it's Echoes from Beyond, and I was on PTN for 48 episodes straight, and I helped them cover Scarefest.
Okay, cool.
This past year, and you know, when I got back from that, and I'd had an event the week prior to Scarefest that I put on to drop their promotions, and I was exhausted, and we got back from Scarefest. That's two weekends out of town, and two long weekends on my investigation. I was up all night investigating.
True. I mean, it's tough doing a radio show. I mean, the stuff that, you know, it might be easy to, you know, push the buttons here online, but, you know, the stuff that goes behind scenes, you know, booking guests and, you know, doing your research, it takes time, and if you're tired, I work at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I have to go back to work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and don't get off till 7. And it's you get tired. I mean, you put a lot of work into it, you know, because you want to put out there a product that people want to, you know, to enjoy.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing about it is the time I was putting into, you know, just an hour show. And if you got a guest, then you have to line them up. And if you don't have a guest, then you got an hour to fill. And that's harder. That's a lot harder than having a guest that you can interview.
True.
So, but I got into this and saw early on that, you know, to make any kind of money, whatever network you're on is going to have to have some major, major sponsorship. And, you know, and there's just so many networks out there now, and I think it's a great thing because everybody gets a share globally. But you know, if you're in this, thinking you're going to get rich on, it's probably not going to happen. And good luck to you if you do.
Definitely not in for the money. You know, I mean,
right? That's right. You got to do it. That's my point. You've got to do it because you love it. You know, if I'm on an investigation, I love. You know, I say there are no experts in the paranormal field, but you can be a specialist. And I try to specialize in EVP. I'm very adept at hearing them and picking voices. You know, you listen to hours of audio from a place.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's easy. It's the same as watching film footage. It's easy to sit there and just kind of zone out after so long. But so you really got to go over your footage and your audio carefully. But, you know, when I get a great EVP, that's why I did my show, to share it. You know, as you may know or may not know, I've been researching the very controversial ghost box, Frank's box, whatever you want to call the technology, spirit radios, for over 3 years solid now, and I was a complete skeptic of that. I've researched it for 3 years, not in an effort to convince anyone else that this form of communication for some people can be more than random radio bleed through, but I've done it more or less to convince myself.
I think that's what the field needs, though. I mean, you have people out there doing actual research instead of, you know, going on investigations and using the equipment, and, you know, you're out there testing, you know, your equipment. You were skeptical when you first used, from what it sounds like, you were skeptical about, you know, the hack shacks and these boxes, but you've gone out there and, you know, you spent these, like you said, last 3 years researching, and it's you know, from what your research gets out of it, you like the results that you're getting from it.
Right. And, you know, again, self validating this to myself, I was told, I write about this in the book, Something Unseen. I got my first hack. It was given to me by a lady. This is a very big part of my story. And
which hack was it?
Go ahead.
Which hack was it? What radio shack?
Well, it's the only one we know of, and probably in the world is in existence, is being used as a ghost radio. It's a Optimus, which was made for Radio Shack, 12-797. Now, this thing was made back in the mid-90s, had been manufactured for years. Gabriel had seen some, right when the hack started coming out, of course, Bill Chappell, Of course, Hack, the first 12-469 Radio Shack model. Before that, you had a Frank's box and you had a Joe's box. Frank don't sell boxes. Frank gives them out to who he wants to have them.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe hand-bills every one of his. So, getting one of them, it was, it wasn't a high probability that you could actually get one yourself. So all I had to go off originally was things people would put on YouTube.
I made my first hack by watching, I guess the guy's name is UFO Geek on YouTube with a 12-469. I hacked like four 12-469s.
Right, that's my buddy Mark Coletta.
So you hacked four of them to get one working?
No, I hacked four. I had four radio. I bought like four. But then I was like, okay, because the 469 is the one that clicks. The click, 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 click. So I was watching other people, hacking and stuff and using the 12-470, which is the one, is the same style radio, but it had the speaker on the inside.
Right.
So I, trying to find one of those in Atlanta, Georgia was nearly impossible. After calling like 40 different Radio Shacks, I found one in downtown Atlanta. They had one left, and it was like, yes.
Well, and up until Bill Chappell hacked that 469 and kind of made them more available to the masses, the people that wanted to try it for themselves, all we had was Frank's box and Joe's box. Now, Gabriel found this 12-797 that had been manufactured since the mid-90s in a yard sale. It was still new in the box. He bought it home, and by the way, Gabriel is a professional medium, and a very good one, too. But she tried to find diagrams, schematic, YouTube vids, but nothing on this model of radio. It's so old. And she opened up the back and said, God, and whoever, is guiding me, help me cut the right wire. And she cut it right, closed her eyes, picked one, opened her eyes, cut it, put the radio back together, and it worked. So she gave me that radio. She said, and I thought this sounded crazy, too. She said that a spirit came to her in a dream after she hacked that radio and told her that that radio was meant for me. And that's how I got my first radio. When she turned it on and hit scan to explain to me how to operate it, it started saying my name very clearly, repeatedly.
No way.
Yes, and still I was skeptical. I'm like, in the skeptic's view on this guy's is the ghost box is based on a device that picks up transmitted radio signals. Therefore, you can't claim anything on it is of a paranormal nature because it's just doing what it's designed to do, and that's pick up radio transmissions. And so you're either, it's audio paradelia or matrixing, or it's just coincidence that you're thinking that you get an answer to your question. Also, a skeptical view, and I know I used to be skeptical of it myself. So the other view is if you ask the thing to say something or you ask it a question, and you listen to it long enough, eventually it's going to say whatever you ask to be said.
You mean laws of average, that something's going to come out of there?
If I say, can you say, whatever the question might be, can you see me? And I wait 3 minutes, and it says yes. The other crap it said in between, I said, did you hear that? It said yes.
Right.
That's their point of view, and I understand that. Again, because I was once totally skeptical of this. But to hear it call my name, it gave me enough interest to say, okay, maybe there could be something to this. Now, I've worked with many other people that use radios over my, over 3 years in doing this. And, I found that not everyone gets the same results. And, maybe it's... if you have some type of, the way I like to explain it, both of you guys have been in paranormal groups. You've been on investigations, correct?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I'm sure there's people in your team on your team or teams you've been associated with, there always seems to be one guy or girl that gets more EVPs, better EVPs, than anybody else in that group. You ever experienced that?
No, sure. I mean, we have some guys that don't get any, and then we have some guys that yeah, right. I mean, it goes both ways, you know.
Right.
And then the no-getters, like, Kurt's a no-getter, and I'm pretty much a no-getter.
But you've had people in your teams that get good EVPs. Now, what do you attribute that to? I'm not sure, but it seems to be the same with the radios. And perhaps it has something to do with clairvoyancy, sensitivity, empathy. I don't know. Maybe all of the above, but all I know is that after 3 years of researching the technology, I've at least got enough, and we'll say, you know, evidence when related to the paranormal is just data collected to support a theory.
Right.
And I've collected enough data over hundreds of sessions in many different locations, including here in my home, that I'm convinced, you know, I've got enough data to convince me that all of this isn't random.
Your wife lets you do sessions in the house?
I usually don't do it. My family's here. My son and his wife stay here with us some, and it kind of creeps them out. And sometimes it creeps me out.
My wife gets mad when I pull out the ghost hunting equipment.
Well, it's just the fact that, you know, they're struggling with it. My son didn't believe anything that regarding the paranormal till one night 2 years ago. Him and his wife were spending, newlyweds at the time, were spending the night over at our house, and they slept in his old room. And he's got a jam box in there that plugs into the wall. It's, you know, it's not expensive. It doesn't have a remote control or alarm or any features like that. And he hadn't turned it on in years. It's just been sitting in his room. And they were laying there in the bed about 3 o'clock in the morning. It was New Year's Eve 2 years ago. 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard him get up and slam the door and leave.
Oh, my God.
So the next morning, I called him up. I said, you know, why'd y'all get up in the middle of the night and leave like that? He said, well, Dad, you know that jam box sitting in my room? I said, yeah. He said, well, at 3 in the morning, that thing came on. And I said, it did. And he said, yeah, and it started talking. And I said, well, what was it saying? He said, I heard two words. And clearly, and they would get out. And he said, we did. So now when they come over, they unplug the jam box. So it can't come on. But, you know, it's just things like that. Now they don't, you know, he used to roll his eyes when I would say something about paranormal or doing a radio session or EVP session or investigation. But now he doesn't roll his eyes anymore. That's what it takes, and, you know, it takes that personal experience that's going to take you outside of your belief system, this thing that happens to you that you witness with your own two eyes and your own ears and, you know, experience that you can't explain, and, you know, and that's how it was with me. You know, getting back to my book, I know y'all got to take a break at some point, so if I get long-winded, just cut me off, but I know that I got into the paranormal quite by accident. I was in the cemetery doing some genealogy work, and when I got home, I'd filmed the headstones on my trip just to document the information on the stones, and when I got home, I was reviewing the footage, and I heard a whisper on the camera audio, and it said, pray for me. Now, I knew I was the only person in the cemetery that bright, sunny Saturday morning, and I knew no one could have got close enough to whisper into my camera like that. So that raised many questions, and it, you know, was his voice talking to me? Why did it say, pray for me? You know, what caused it? Could I recreate it? I'm not going to say debunk, because the proper definition of debunk is to prove fraud or hoaxing. I didn't feel like there's any hoaxing involved. It's just me and that camera in that graveyard. So I wanted to try to maybe explain it away, find an explanation. So I went back to the cemetery with tape recorder and trying to find if I could recapture more of what I termed as phantom voices, because I really didn't even know what an EVP was. I'd seen the movie White Noise when it came out, you know, many years ago now. And that had a little bit to do with, you know, the spirit. They were using, you know, video to contact and audio. So I knew kind of what EVP was, but I wasn't a paranormal investigator. I wasn't really interested in the paranormal. I thought it was a cool movie, but that's Hollywood. So when I did get this voice, I go back and I find that, you know, I'm getting more voices. So eventually I start interviewing them. You know, why are you here? Do you need help? Are you trapped here? How can I help you? And pretty soon, after about my fourth or fifth subsequent trip, and I was injured at the time and out of work, and these trips were daily once I got that first one, trying to explore what whatever phenomena caused this voice to be on my recorder, strange things started happening around my house. My dog started acting weird.
Hey, Stephen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can we hold on right there so we can take a quick break, and then we'll continue on when we get back?
Certainly.
Awesome. So if you hang tight, we'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Alrighty, folks, you're listening to Stephen Hill live tonight on PAR Radio. Don't forget to check out our website, www.pirradio.com, and we'd love to hear if you have any feedback about this show or any other shows, and we'll be right back after this great story from Lex Wall tonight.
PIR Radio will be right back after these messages.
This is Lex Wall, the Anything Goes show, and the story I'm going to share on PIR Radio this time is from James in Los Angeles, and it was in April of 2006 that I read it on my show. This is my experience aboard the Queen Mary in 2003. For those who may not know, the Queen Mary is a historic ocean liner that sailed over 1,000 voyages from 1936 until 1967. It is now permanently berthed at the Long Beach Harbor in California. I've been visiting the Queen Mary off and on for the past few years. When I visit this grand historic ship, I always reserve a hotel room on board. I usually prefer an Art Deco room that is original to the ship going back to the 1930s. Although I have stayed numerous times overnight, I have never had any ghostly experiences. The night usually passes uneventful. I did speak with a number of employees, however, who told me of stories that they had witnessed or heard from their fellow employees. In 2003, I became friends with a well-known psychic who started giving ghost tours on the Queen Mary. In September of 2003, the psychic held a ghost convention aboard the Queen Mary. It was a weekend event, and our group would spend two nights on the Queen Mary. On Saturday evening after our dinner, we met up at the Royal Theater and proceeded to the engine room. From there, our group went into the boiler room. There was probably about a dozen people on this tour, including the security guard, who was there to unlock the entrances. Our psychic told us that, in this boiler room area, he made contact with a child ghost named Dana. Our group heard no voices while in this large, expansive, dark boiler room. As we proceeded out of the boiler room, we passed underneath the catwalk above us. Suddenly, we all heard loud footsteps. It sounded like a child running back and forth nonstop. Everyone in our group, including the psychic and the security guard, were witnesses to these disembodied footsteps. I took out my tape recorder and captured these loud footsteps on tape. Others with video cameras also captured these sounds. It lasted approximately 10 minutes. Several of us cast our flashlights on this catwalk. No one could be seen. It was completely empty up there. Our psychic said it was interesting, and in all his tours, he had never encountered anything like this. Our entire group proceeded up the catwalk, where it was dark, and no people were around. By this time, the footsteps had stopped. Was this a ghost? I can't say with certainty, but it was localized from the catwalk, and not a sound traveling through walls from the decks above. These were very loud, distinct, running footsteps. This is Lex Wall signing off, sending you now back to the hosts of PIR Radio, Kirk and Bill.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled program on PIR Radio.
We're back. It's Kurt and Bill with PIR Radio. Hey, don't forget to all our podcast listeners out there, come check us out live. We'd love to have you come join us in the PRO chat room and have fun with us. We air live every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. That's 8 Central, 7 Mountain, 6 Pacific time. Especially during the Pacific time, you could have dinner and listen to PIR Radio. That'd be a great treat. But tonight's guest is Stephen Hill. He's the author of Something Unseen, and he's from PPI. So now, Stephen, I know before we went to break, you were talking about the cemetery and how you captured your first EVP and how you continued to go back, and then you had some incidences at your house.
And I termed it as being Father's Home, and that's one of the questions I think I've asked every guest I had on my show over on PTN. But, have you ever been Father's Home? Because a lot of them say yes, but not being involved in the paranormal, it was quite a frightening experience. We were hearing voices in other rooms. My dog acting weird, growling and barking at nothing. Just really acting up, and one of the best personal experience validations I can think of right off the top of my head is one night my wife came to me and said, "Well, I'm sitting in the den watching TV, something keeps tugging on my shirt." And I said, "Well, are you sure you're not imagining that?" She says, "No." Well, what I hadn't told her is for the past 2 weeks prior to that, when I'd be sitting here in my office online or on, watching something on TV, something would be tugging on my shirt. And, first I thought I was imagining it. And then as time went on, it came a little bit more pronounced, and it wasn't anything violent. It was just, I could feel something just gently tugging on the collar of my shirt. So to have her come to me with the same experience that I'd experienced and hadn't mentioned to her, was about the best validation I think you can get for a personal experience.
I agree.
It can be terrifying. I know how it feels to sleep with the lights on as an adult. And, Something Unseen really chronicles, though, after experiencing what I just mentioned, some of the things I just mentioned, after experiencing that, I turned to my church, to the pastor, trying to find some kind of help or some kind of answers, and I got no help there. I'm sure he thought I was rather insane, quite insane. Then I turned to a local paranormal group in desperation, trying to find some kind of help to explained to me exactly what was going on, why it was going on, and more importantly, how to make an end. They came out, stayed just a short amount of time, two people, called it a preliminary investigation, recorded my claims of activity, did a quick EVP session, swept the house with their K2s and thermometers, and said, "We'll get back to you." And they never called me back. After a period of time, I called them and said, "Did you find anything when you were here, and when are you going to come back?" And they're like, "Well, we didn't find anything, and we're not coming back."
Why weren't you back?
It makes you wonder, why are they in this? Are they in this to try to help someone that called them, for help, that's scared out of their wits, that doesn't feel comfortable in their own home, or are they in it to to try to grab some easy evidence to put on the website and maybe get the next TV series? I don't know. But that didn't help me. And so Something Unseen just chronicles how I got into the field of paranormal research and investigation by being forced to investigate my own haunting. For lack of a better phrase, I became my own client, if you will. So that's what brought me into the paranormal investigation.
So, did you ever figure out what you had brought home?
Well, and that's where the book takes a turn that I don't think anybody expected. I found out through all of this, and I mentioned earlier the Gabrielle, the medium in my book, when I finally contacted her, not knowing she was a medium, she said I was telling her my claims of activity. She was just another paranormal group as far as I knew, and she was 4 hours away, but, you know, I had tried to contact another local one besides the one I had over here, and they were always going to come out here, and then something would happen, and they'd get too busy, and so I got tired of waiting on them because, you know, the people that call you wanting help, they're experiencing these things, or they wouldn't be calling you. They're wanting help, and, you know, if you drag them on for 3 weeks a month, yeah, we're going to come out there, and then something comes up, then they're going to, you know, you're not helping them. You see what I'm saying? So I called Gabrielle just hoping she could give me some insight. And she said, well, the spirits in your home have followed you there. And I'm like, well, I know that. And I know where they follow me from, but I want to know why. And, that's where she really helped me. And she revealed to me then that she said, I'm a professional medium. That's what I do for a living. I've done it since 1980. So she said, the spirits in your house have followed you there, and you're a natural-born empath. And I said, a natural-born what? Never even have heard the word. She said, it's a sixth sense. Look it up. So I go look it up, and it's not in Webster's. I see empathy, you know, empathic, empathetic, all these variations of the word, but the actual label or term empath is not in the dictionary. So I had to resort to Wikipedia. And what I found there was that an empath is someone who is a, you know, and as crazy as this sounds, maybe to you and your listeners now, it sounded as crazy to me, but it's someone with a highly acute sense of empathy, a highly keen sense of emotion of others, and can occasionally project their emotions to affect others. And so I had to kind of come to grips with this, and as Gabrielle explained to me, once the spirits in that cemetery figured out that I could somehow hear them, it wasn't live, it would be at later when I reviewed my audio when I got home from these trips, once they figured out that I could somehow hear them, you know, because one whispers, pray for me, I'm back there the next day saying, who said pray for me? You know, I get a name, Jubal, and I'm there the next day saying, Jubal, were you talking to me? How can I help you? How can prayer help you? And she said, once they figure this out, that you have some method apparently of hearing them, they can either lay around there another 150 years and hope this fool comes back, or maybe they can just go with you, and maybe you can give them the help that they seek. And, you know, one thing in my book, I've got a strong religious upbringing, not Bible thumpers or fanatics, but just honest, good, hard-working, God-fearing, church-going family that I grew up in. So we were in church every Sunday when I was a child. So I had to look at this, the paranormal, and some people don't like to cross the two streams, but I had to equate the paranormal to religion because with my religious upbringing, the first EVP I got said, pray for me. And I've had many requests, electronic voice phenomena and the ghost radios for prayer. You know, why are they asking for prayer? Are they in a purgatory? Are they in hell? I don't know. And that's why I keep researching.
Speaking about the ghost boxes, a lot of people do like a opening prayer session or, you know, how they open and close sessions, you know, and some people are very spiritual about it. Do you do anything when you do a session with your boxes?
Not really. If what I've got's she said, you know, a gift, natural born. If that's natural born, and I equate that as a gift, and you know, it would have to be from God. And if it's from God, and I'm meant to use it, as I've learned over my last 5 years in paranormal. Then I think he protects me. So the only ritual I do, it really is if they're asking for prayer, if they're asking me to cross them, I'm not a priest. And I'm really not qualified, but what I try to do is just kind of Dr. Phil them, you know, You know what? You know, one case in particular. Again, I don't seek out cases, but I do get contacted by people that are explaining, experiencing unexplained activity, and they're wanting answers. In one particular case, the former landowner, 30 years prior to the people calling me, had fell out of a barn wall, hit his head on a rock, and succumbed to his injuries. You know, here all these years later, they buy the farm. They put a house right in the middle of his field, the barn that he fell out of, still there today. Their claims of activity were the kids were wouldn't sleep in their bed at night. They kept saying the guy in the closet's going to get us. And this was like a two-year-old and seven-year-old children. Kids wouldn't sleep in their own beds. Husband kept hearing whispering voices over the baby monitor that he had set up in their room. And they called another group in prior to my coming, and the group said, yeah, we've got an EVP, but we don't, it's not a name, and we don't know what to make of it. So they called me in, went out in the barn, my recorder, asked who was here, got the very clear name. I won't say his first and last name because, you know, just out of respect, but
absolutely.
My first name was Ben. It's what I got on the recorder. I only do a spirit radio session in someone's home if they ask me to, in an effort to find answers, because, you know, as I said, my field of research has been more validation for me than anybody else. But they asked me to do that, and I did, and I got his first and last name. When I asked, I told him that he was scaring the children. A very clear, immediate reply I got was, but I loved them. And I said, well, the family respectfully asked for you to leave. And he said, but I do not wish to. He even, he dropped the F-bomb. He said, where's my effing cattle? So, you know, maybe this was someone that died so dramatically and suddenly that he, in his prime, that he didn't realize, perhaps, that he had, was dead. So what I did, I kind of, like I say, Dr. Fielding, you know, your parents got the money for your land, your cattle's all been sold, you know, you're hanging around here scaring these people, how's that working for you? And said the Lord's Prayer, and, you know, did it work? Well, all I can tell you is most people still contact me today, and this has been going on 2 years ago, and said since that night, they hadn't had any problem. The kids now sleep in their rooms. Husband's no longer hearing whispering voices, and they feel at peace. And of course, I don't charge for my visits. But you know, what greater repayment could you have for those people to tell you that you really helped them?
I mean, it sounds like, you know, it's comforting, you know, that you can help these people out. And unfortunately, some some groups out there are more about the fame and fortune, and you know they don't want to help out. But to me, it sounds like you comfort this family to realize, you know, and you help them out, and now they're at peace, and they can
Why do I choose to do this again? Because I know how it feels to be in their shoes. I know how it feels to sleep with the lights on. I know how it feels to be terrified in your own home where it's supposed to be your castle, but yet you're scared to go to sleep.
I know. It kind of freaked me out. It kind of freaked me out when you said baby monitor, because we have a daughter and the baby monitor is right next to me, and I'm like, hopefully it's her and nothing else.
Well, there's one thought. I wish I'd have thought to send it to you. I've got hundreds of them, but, you know, back to the spirit radio and the, you know, the audio matrixing and the random bleed through. Just for example, Joe Siopi, who's creator of the Joe's Box, Joe and I are good friends. We talk often, and he sent me one of his Joe's Boxes, and I was very flattered because there aren't that many of them out there. Again, he hands builds them one at a time, and so he sent me one to try out, and I took the thing out of the box. It already had batteries in it. I turned it on. The first thing I asked was, do you know who created this box? Now, the immediate, very clear female voice reply I got was Joe.
Wow.
And it wasn't a staticky. It was very clear. There was no bleed through. It was immediate. So, you know, and I heard that in real time, and I said, yes, Joe, thank you. Well, that blew me away. And what I'd like to point out here, is although the EVP or spirit radios isn't scientific evidence because, number one, what is accepted by science is evidence of the paranormal, nothing. And, number two, that's kind of an oxymoron, kind of like, military intelligence. when applied to the paranormal, scientific evidence doesn't exist. You can try to be scientific in your method, but there's really nothing accepted by science. But what I would like to point out that I believe is recognized by the scientific field is the law of percentages, the law of averages. Now, when I ask the question, you know who created this box? Out of all the thousands and thousands of random words, music, talk show, voices, DJs, commercials that could have come in immediately, very clearly, the one word I got was the correct name, and it was Joe. So what are the odds? You know, I always ask all you bookies or mathematicians listening, Steve, send me those odds.
There was an interesting thing that happened to Lori Hall. She had the Chat People radio show.
Yeah, I know Lori.
Yeah, so she was at Fort Mifflin and had one of these boxes. And I should try to get that. But it actually said the Chat People radio. I'm going to go look and see if it's on Haunted Tube. No. But it was interesting because the combination was like, well, who's going to say the Chat People radio? And
absolutely.
You know, so I'll see if I can find that while you guys continue to talk.
Well, it's like my show, Echoes from Beyond. You know, I've got a file where I ask, did you say Echoes? Because that's what I call my show for short. And it was just, these are validation files. And again, I love to share them when I get them as clearly. But I bet there was 12-second delay. And there was nothing, no bleed through.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There was no bleed through in between the time I asked, can you say Echoes? And about 12 seconds later, all you can hear is just the hiss of the radio, and I get this very clear, out of the static, but very clear male voice says, echo.
Sweet.
Like that. Now, but in my view, and this is just my opinion, that cannot be random. I'm sorry.
Right. That's what happened here, you know, because, I was, to be honest, Stephen, and I think Kurt already knows that I'm a big skeptic of the boxes, and or more so was, but then when I heard this from Lori, it kind of like said, well, I don't know how that combination of words could come up from a random, like you said, what are the odds, or you know. Let me play this twice for you.
Okay.
And then we'll see if we can hear it at the end. One more time.
Yeah, that's pretty dang clear, guys.
So, oh yeah, it doesn't say radio, but it says the Chat People. But
yeah, but that is, you know. And what was her question for those who may not be able to understand the question?
I think she said, "Did you come into the room or something, or do you know who we are?" I asked if he had come into the room. After he asked us to open the door, the response was the Chat People, and you know, of course, that was Mary's show, and she goes on to say that it was a Jensen SAB-55.
Yeah, I've got one of those. Matter of fact, Lori used to co-host a show with a gentleman by the name of Bruce Holliday. And the name
of
the show was Inside the Box. And way, way back, it was a long time ago, Bruce invited me to be on the show as a guest. And so I said, okay, Bruce, I'll try to make you a file. Not make you, but record a file, do a session. But get you a file that says the name of your show. And he's like, okay, good luck. So I sat down, and this is one of these sessions that just, when you get these responses, makes a hair come up on your arms. I said, can you say Inside the Box? And a female goes, this was on a 12-587 radio show. A female goes, Inside the Box. She kind of whispered it. But it's so clear. And I sent that to Bruce. He played it on the show. You know, it blew his mind. It blew my mind. And when you get things like that, and it may not work the same for everybody. You know, if you're skeptical and you see somebody running in a convention for 5 minutes, the guy's sitting there and you're hearing, and the guy's like, oh, did you hear that? He just answered my question. Well, if you're not recording this, you don't know what, you know, you can say what sounded like he said or maybe he said. But what I've learned in all my research of this is I can only hear about maybe 40% of what comes through because you don't know what's going to be said and you don't know when in real time and understand it. So that means I'm missing 60%. And I've had some sessions that I thought were pretty crappy, but I recorded them all. And when I go back and listen to the recording, I'm like, oh, that wasn't too bad after all. You know, I've got this hit and this hit, you know. Another day I got one, I said, you know, just for giggles, you know how many fingers I'm holding up? And the very clear male voice I got with no bleed through in between said, up yours. So I thought that was pretty funny. They've got a sense of humor.
Interesting. All the times when Bruce and some other people, and Lori, and they, you know, when they get the F-bomb that comes through, you know, this is AM radio typically. I think most people listen to the AM scan. But when they get the F-bomb or a curse that you know can't be produced or something like that, that's when it's like, well, yeah, that shouldn't be on the radio, you know. So that makes it more compelling, you know, very interesting.
You know, it does, and, you know, I point out all the time, and I've got a lot of operators do these sessions get cursed at regularly. I very seldom even get a curse word, and when I do, it's usually not directed at me. But, you know, the thing I point out, that's not FCC approved broadcast. If you would say that on any AM or FM radio show that's FCC sanctioned, they would pull your plug immediately and there'd be fines. You'd pretty much be off the air. Now, the skeptical view is that was a CB operator, an unlicensed ham operator, a cell phone conversation you picked up, or something else. Now, you know, do you know how close? This is a little AM/FM radio that'll fit in your pocket. Most of these boxes, all of these hacks. Do you know how close someone would have to be to you with a transmitter?
Mm-hmm. It'd be like next door.
It'd have to be like in your driveway, and you know, and again, lower percentages. I have no transmit button. I'm talking just like I'm talking to you when I'm conducting a session. So that tells me that whatever I'm communicating with is giving me these relative responses. Has to be able to hear my voice somehow. Now, law of percentages, if this was a guy answering every one of my questions, or at least, okay, let's not say everyone. Let's say on a good day, I'm getting 60% of my questions answered immediately and seem to be, you know, relative answer to the question. Okay, what are the odds that there's, you know, I'm looking out the window. What are the odds somebody's on a ham radio, CB, or cell phone sitting in my driveway
every time
I do a session. It's not going to happen. There, again, law of percentages. And for you, it may be different. And, I'm, you know, again, I don't try to convince anyone. I just simply share what I've recorded. And, you know, there's never enough proof for a skeptic. And, you know, a believer doesn't need any. But like I always tell people, I really don't believe in skeptics. I believe in cynics. Who dismiss anything paranormal because it takes them so far outside of their belief system and their perception of reality, and it frightens them so badly they automatically dismiss anything supernatural or paranormal. And two, a skeptical person who, like I used to be, of everything totally, if you told me 5 years ago I'd be sitting here now talking to spirits on a radio and a recorder and talking about the book I wrote, you know, I told you it was crazy because I was a skeptic. But the skeptic that, you know, I don't believe in skeptics, only people that haven't experienced that one thing, perception.
I'll tell you a quick story, then I think we're going to have to wind it on down. But my uncle, who was a warlock, he had told me a story that happened in his garage. It was just the warehouse, and you know, he was on the first floor, and he's the only one there. You know, it's like, you know, it's a garage with a second floor, and or it might have a third floor too, But he said that he could clear that he was in there by himself. Nobody's there. He went through the place. He was ready, locking up, and he could hear footsteps on the steps, and then something like a chair sliding or something or another. And he said, you know, and this guy's a warlock, you know, so he's not one to talk, you know, sissy stuff or whatever, scary stuff. And he said, you know, that's what I heard. Heard this. Oh, and it might be a chain rattle or something, chair, chain, and footsteps and all this stuff. And he said, I know 100% there was nobody in that building, you know, because it's sealed up, you know.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely. I've recorded the voice of a little girl, sounds to be a little girl, a child, speaking whole sentences in an empty house before. So I know there wasn't nobody in it. We locked it up and left for a period of time. And the person's claim to the activity of the homeowner that called me there was she kept hearing the voice of a child in another room, and that her 8-month-old son, who wasn't able to talk at the time, seemed to be holding a, you know, jabber conversation with something she couldn't see. So to record that little girl's voice, that helped her in the way that it, she said, yeah, you know, maybe I ain't going crazy. Because here he's got this voice of a child speaking full sentences. Mm-hmm. On his recorder. Now, I know we got in the show, but again, a skeptic told me that recorder picked that voice up. That was from a radio signal. But I have to beg to differ because that recorder has no tuner, has no antenna. So it can't pick up radio signals and turn them into words. So anyway, she was convinced that maybe there was in some form a little girl in that house because I recorded the little girl talking. So, you know, how do you explain that?
Yeah.
Other than paranormal.
You know, Stephen, we're going to have you back on and, you know, get a couple people that, you know, do box research, just play files, because I'm really interested to hear some of the files that you have, and hopefully we can have you back on in the future and we can do that. We can just, you know, talk about the, you know, box sessions, you know, how a new, you know, investigator can get into doing box research and, you know, just give them pointers and help them out and play some files, too, because I love playing files.
Oh, yeah, I'd love that. Definitely. Anytime, just let me know, and I'd be glad to come back on and share some pretty incredible files with you. You know, if I do say so myself, of course, I take no credit. Only control I have is I cut the recorder or the radio on and operate them. So
I'm sure we'll get some emails too going. You know, get that show booked soon because we want the listeners will want to hear, you know, hear show they love EVPs and, you know, box sessions.
Well, that's what I do, and thanks for having me on again, guys, and for the listeners out there, again, if you would check out my book, Something Unseen. It's available on Amazon, Kindle, and a whole bunch of other places online. So check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
Before we let you go, though, you have to give out your website, and we're going to let you have the microphone, and if you want to give out shout-outs to anyone, it's all yours.
Well, appreciate you having me on again. And, again, my book can be found at Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Better World Books, somethingunseen.com. My event website is dropdeadpromotions.com. I'm Stephen Hill on Facebook with a PH, and love to hear from you. So please check out the book and get up with me. I love to hear your ghost story, if nothing else.
Awesome.
Absolutely. We really appreciate you spending an hour with us on PIR Radio Night. And I'll shoot you a message when the podcast up. It might be up tonight. It might not be till tomorrow. But I'll shoot you an email with the link too with the podcast as well.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great evening.
You too now, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
What a great show, Bill.
You know, Steven's incredible, and I think his story of how he got into it was just awesome, you know, and I think that's why I brought up my uncle, because, you know, you got these people that are not looking for it, not expecting it, and you know, and it hits them, and the other thing I want to say about the paranormal and this stuff, and, you know, there's always this matrixing with photos and such, and he was talking about this skeptic that sort of said, oh, yeah, this was a radio or something or another. I think people also, when things happen that are, you know, it could be as tragic as somebody getting shot in the street or something, they just don't know how to process that information, or somebody got hit by a car, let's say, they just can't believe it. They might not talk about it. They might not think about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too shocking. And I think some of this sort of matrixing or justification, they hear this and they say, wow, you know, that's another radio. There's static. There's this and that and the other thing. And I think they, what's going on really is they're trying to rationalize within and come up with some kind of notable, within their scope of knowledge, some notable excuse of what this is. And that's fine, and I can accept that from people, because people just can't sometimes deal with things, and that's my sort of take on it, that it's not just these people trying to be skeptics, it's them trying to rationalize it, and they relate to the thing they know the best. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that's my two cents.
And now the rest of the story. No, just joking. But, you know, I can't wait to have him back on. I can't wait, you know. That's what I think we need to have, that as a show where we can get EVPs and ghost boxes. And, you know, maybe we'll have a couple guests on. You know, we'll segment it out, 15-minute segments, to where, you know, we get four different guests. And maybe we'll get two people that do the ghost box and two people that do EVP and have them on, play some EVPs.
Team, right?
I will get an outline. That way I can fill out, you know, and I'll get to work on that. As I get more information, I'll let all the folks listening live and the podcast listeners know when we can get that show scheduled.
Oh, and I want to thank Robin also for writing in for the book for Lori Hall. So we're going to get that out to her, get her address, and once Lori gets some new shipment of books in, we'll get that signed and shipped out to her.
And if any of the live listeners out there, the first live listener that can email me, or the podcast listeners that can email me at Kurt@PIRradio.com, I will send you a copy of the first 100 episodes of PIR Radio, and maybe I'll even sign it.
It's awesome.
So, well, Bill, do you have anything else tonight? Do you have any shout-outs or anything before we go?
That's it. I think shout-out to Lori. Just hope that she just drove out to Pittsburgh to visit her family, and she's going to come back on Friday. So just wish her a safe trip journey back.
And yeah. I'm going to give a shout-out to Mandy and, you know, we send them, Mandy and Louie, from our buddies from Prime Maine. We send out our best wishes and, you know, prayers and love to them when, you know, with in regards to her grandfather. So, you know, and if she needs anything, that be, you know, her family here at PR Radio, so she can give us she can let us know.
Amen.
But do you know who we have next week?
We have James Kemp, psychic medium or medium,
live from England.
No, I hope he's gonna be up late, right?
Oh yeah, and I believe he said he'll take some phone calls too. So. We'll open up the phone lines too for listeners. So you gotta, if you're a podcast listener, you gotta come listen live next week.
Hey, you know, if worse comes to worse, you can always read us.
True. True.
You know.
I can't wait to hear what he has to say about Bill.
It's always the way, right? But we'll put it up on Facebook, and maybe we can drum up some new listeners that want to get a reading from James Kemp, from bloody old England.
Absolutely.
Hey, can you remind me next week, Kurt, also to ask him about the wedding that's going to happen at the end of the month?
Absolutely.
You know, it's happening on my birthday, right?
It's happening on my wedding anniversary.
What's your wedding anniversary? What date?
April 29th.
Oh, I thought they were getting married on the 30th.
They're getting married on the 29th.
And my birthday's on the 30th, so... See that, Kurt? It's almost too close.
True.
It's the 29th.
Yes, it's the 29th.
I'll have to ask James, but he'll be on after, right? I know. He'll be on before, right?
Yep, he'll be on before.
We'll ask him. He'll know, because he's from England.
True.
All right, Kurt.
All right, Bill. Until next week.
Keep it paranormal.
And hopefully Steve got his paranormal radio experience with PIR Radio. Don't forget to check out our website, www.pirradio.com, and get your radio experience. All right, we'll see you next week with James Kemp. Good night, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to PIR Radio. Come back every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the ASPRN Radio Network and the PRO Radio Network to get the very best in paranormal radio on the Internet. Please visit our website at www.pirradio.com. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Radio Network and www.hauntedtube.com.